WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A massive cleanup effort in the South. More than 40 people killed, millions left without power in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Larry Parker lives in hard-hit Hudson, Florida, near Tampa Bay. He says his home destroyed.
We lost everything, every bit of furniture, clothing, pots and pans, food, refrigerators, washer, dryer. We lost everything.
The storm's heavy winds as it moved inland, taking out power lines. Over 3.5 million customers across the Southeast and Midwest without power this morning. Israel Defense Forces continue their bombardment of Beirut this morning. The IDF says it hit over 140 targets across Lebanon overnight after it claims to have killed Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. Hezbollah has not confirmed his death. At Cape Canaveral today, a scheduled launch of a SpaceX crew to the International Space Station. NASA plans to use the SpaceX capsule to bring home the crew of Boeing Starliner next year. This is ABC News. The Trump campaign scheduled a last-minute meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky while he was in New York to attend the UN General Assembly. ABC's Rachel Scott.
Trump initially had no plans to see Zelensky. Their meeting at Trump Tower scheduled at the last minute. With Zelensky at his side, Trump said,
"We have a very good relationship, and I also have a very good relationship, as you know, with President Putin."
Not long after, Zelensky interjects, saying he hopes relations with Ukraine are better than with Putin.
"I really think we're going to get it.
I hope we have more good relations.
We're going to have, it takes two to tango."
Trump has made the claim he could negotiate an end to the war in just 24 hours, but Zelensky has said that's not possible.
California Governor Gavin Newsom vetoing a bill that would have created a process for black families to claim their property was unjustly taken by the government and would have allowed for reparations. But he is signing a bill that will have the state issue a formal apology for harms of racial discrimination over many decades. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A small group of people in Wisconsin is doing its part to keep Native American languages from going silent. Mike Moan introduces us to the Indigenous Language Table.
Laura Red Eagle, a writer and member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, grew up in rural Wisconsin and says she was somewhat disconnected from her tribal roots. Eventually, she embarked on a learning journey that reconnected her with her ancestors' traditional words and phrases. Her perseverance led to the Indigenous Language Table at the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery in Madison. It's a communal gathering that meets once a week, emphasizing the importance of using the language in everyday conversations.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
She feels the most successful revitalization efforts involve multiple participants as opposed to practicing the language alone. Red Eagle says what makes the Indigenous Language Table great is that it doesn't lend itself to an exhausting learning experience.
If they can speak one or two words or at least, you know, get their introduction done or hear some more, then it's worth it. And I don't know, they feel revitalized themselves in doing it.
The weekly events hosted by Red Eagle are attended by natives and non-natives. She says her efforts offer a blueprint for creating vibrant language communities around Wisconsin and beyond. The United Nations warns that more than half of the world's languages will become extinct by the year 2100, a direct consequence of colonialism. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Robert Bordeaux for Arts Midwest.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81. Clear tonight, lows around 48. Sunshine and 77 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low around 47. For Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. Much cooler Tuesday.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by NACDI's Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program. Join them this week for Phillips Farms Bike Tour in South Minneapolis on September 28th from noon to 4 p.m. You're going to be learning about locally grown foods and share a meal. Learn more and sign up for this free event at NACDI.org/events.
Wow, that's great. Hey, so we got Dr. Stately on later, and we got things to talk about here, Haley. Haley, you were at my nanny and your Gaga's house, or where was this taking
place? This was at my house.
Your house? Oh, yes. So you had to clean up the mess afterwards.
Yeah, bigger kitchen, bigger TV for that Vikings win yesterday. Yeah, we got to learn Gaga Barb's famous fry bread recipe, which is actually great-grandma Helen's famous fry bread recipe.
Wow, there's some secrets in that recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like the native amount of ingredients get added. So we were learning, and I was like, "Well, Gaga, how much of this?" And she goes, "Oh, just a little bit of that, or a tablespoon to a teaspoon of this." So it's just kind of trial and error, but it turned out really well. It was golden, crispy on the outside, fluffy and pillowy and soft on the inside, perfect brown color. It was good fry bread.
That's awesome. So we know the Ho-Chunks have that really good fry bread, which I'm not a big fan. I don't eat a lot of it, but I do try it out because I'm a bread hound, period. So
Same. Love that bread. We usually do like tacos, taco toppings on top. And that's where I've had most like Indian tacos or fry bread tacos, is with all the tacos on top. But I've seen more people do kind of desserts with it, like powdered sugar and strawberries and blueberries. So I'm going to have to try that next time. But
yeah, that's good. Definitely. But
well, speaking of good food, do you know what's happening this week? It has to do with the Four Sisters Farmers Market.
The pickle.
Yeah, good guess.
Oh, I won't be here for the first time. I'll be in New York, which is a bummer.
Okay, so we definitely have to rule you out as a pickle contest judge.
Right, exactly. Plus, I'm delicate, and I know a lot of people like them a little spicy, and I like them a little sweeter.
Mm-hmm. So they do have a range of pickles that people enter in the contest, but
I just think the word pickles is kind of funny.
pickle? It's like nickel? I don't know.
No, no.
We have pickles at Powo's all the time. The jumbo pickles.
I just like the word pickles. Yeah, when is that and how does that work out?
Yeah, so this is at NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, and Indian Health Board. This is their third annual Pickle Off. So it'll be taking place this Thursday, September, this Thursday, when the date is for that. But from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is the Powwow Grounds parking lot in Minneapolis, 1414 East Franklin Avenue. They're going to be, it's kind of focusing around the Four Sisters Food Sovereignty and Preservation Month of foods that are grown locally in gardens. So the Pickle Off is kind of learning about the act of curing and pickling and drying, freezing and canning different kinds of food. So it's very educational as well as trying some locally grown pickles.
Well, we'll have to bring that up later this week, too, because that's really cool. And again, I think the word pickle is a funny word, so I chuckle every time I say it or hear it.
I kind of agree. But yes, this Thursday, September 26th, and the pickle event will start at noon.
Is that what it's called, the Pickle Off?
Yeah, the Pickle Off. Pickle-themed giveaway, free pickle face paint, pickle tasting, and, oh, pickle lemonade.
Oh, that's an interesting combo. Yeah. Hey,
did they have that at the state fair?
Somewhere.
Okay.
Somewhere. They had pickle pizza, which was overrated, and there was a line around the block 24/7 for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, and it was a little teeny booth, too. It was crazy, but I don't know. Some people got the word out there on these TV shows, local TV shows, and there was a line around the block to try out the new thing at the state fair, and it was pickle pizza. Which is two funny words.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard that was pretty good, too. Well, yeah. How was your weekend? I know you were doing some traveling.
Yeah, I was at General Council in the Wisconsin Dells. Our tribe is fourth government, is the General Council, which is the people that speak. Really, really fun seeing a lot of relatives, that I haven't seen in a while. And it was good for that, and things turned out well, and, the fourth government of the nation was there, and they had enough people who, made quorum, and, it's part of being Ho-Chunk is checking out the general council and being there, so it's pretty fun and pretty exciting, and again, it's about the people. There was so many people that I know and respect and we're related to that I got to see. So that was good medicine.
Awesome. Yeah, always is to go see relatives who you normally don't get to see because, distance right. And everything like that.
Yeah, part of it was good medicine. So wait a minute now. I saw that you saw a buffalo or a bison, or which was it, a bison or a buffalo?
Well, we could use those words, buffalo or bison, or if we want to get technical and speak some Ho-Chunk, we could say Chef G. Ooh. Or since we're on Dakota land here in Minnesota, we could say Tatanka.
Right on there, Haley.
Thank you. Pini right. Gigi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I love going to see him. I live kind of east metro of St. Paul, so I'm a bit closer to Afton. It's the Bellwin Conservancy place out there in Afton. Pretty sure that's what it's called, Bellwin. But yeah, they have a herd of buffaloes out in the field there in the Savannah Conservancy part. And sometimes they're not always visible. I know that they do have a lookout tower for viewing, but it's a pretty big space. So they're not always visible, but I like to go out there and put some tawny down, some tobacco. And yeah, I did that on Friday morning, even though I couldn't see them. And then after I put tobacco down, I drove back out on the main road, and there they were, just laying in the grass right next to the main road.
That's hilarious. You took me a year ago on a bison hunt, and we didn't see any. And the funny thing about Ho-Chunk language, too, is Donnie is not only for tobacco, but it's also the number four, which blows my mind.
Four.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a reason for why it's used for the number four and also tobacco, like kind of like the four sacred directions or something.
I don't know. That's something that you need to ask your Gaga next time you see her. Quiz her on it.
I will for sure. Well, also, it was the fall equinox. So we're moving into a different season here and time to slow down and reflect and prepare for winter.
Yeah, the squirrels are, and they have, I think the chipmunks are now building a nest into my dryer in the basement. So there's a lot of full peanuts in my dryer and possibly need to get a new one because the motor doesn't seem to be working. But that's what you do when you feed our relatives. They hide their food in the darnest places.
Yep, they love you so much, they just want to come in and live with you at that point.
Rent free.
Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, and we're excited to talk to him. And we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Here's to celebrating everyone's favorite time of year in Wisconsin with all our arty, fun-loving, foodie, feasting fall events. There's Kohler Food and Wine, Aaron's Art on Wheels at Road America, Red Cliff Cultural Days, Holy Hill Art and Craft Fair, and the Fests, Wassa's Ginseng Fest, Warren's Cranberry Fest, Bayfield Apple Fest, Milwaukee Film Fest. Whew. There's a whole lot of fall fun to be had in Wisconsin. Find more events at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do, and I love that tagline. Hey, we are here with our friend Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately, great to see you. And it always seems like it's been a while, but it's always great to see you. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio.
Bonjour. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Right on. Hey, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about a little bit is I just had my general counsel Saturday, and I got my flu shot and my COVID shot. And I felt like I was a little tired after that for a couple days. I'm just kidding. I also had my hearing check too, so I'm going deaf. So just those things that an old person, older, junior, elder like me are going through.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't explain the hearing loss.
What?
I don't think the flu or COVID shot gave you hearing loss, but
yeah. No.
Could be all those years of like listening to your 8-track tape players really loud in your car while you were like speeding around.
Well, they did ask me if I was a truck driver because my left ear is worse than my right ear. And I'm going, you mean like maybe before I had air conditioning back in the day, I stuck my head out the window when it was hot.
Oh, maybe. Or you rolled down the window and so like all the, you know, the
icicles and moisture grew something in my ear.
Possibly, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you got like vermin in there and they built a nest.
Well, I was definitely happy that they didn't have to do any drilling, that I had been cleaning my ears properly all these years. So things were good in that way. But then again, if I'm not hearing that well, then it's not that good and I don't have an excuse. Like, what is that, wax buildup?
Yeah. I mean, like for a lot of people, especially like, I mean, as you age, typically you're going to end up losing some of your hearing capacity anyway. Like it's just, you know, I think it's generally a aging concern. I remember one time learning this, I read this study. So here you are. Where? What are you, 61? 62?
Three.
63? Oh, okay, cool. Got it. Like I'm hot on your heels here.
Yeah, and sobriety.
My ears are fine, by the way, just so you know. So I don't know, it's explanatory, but here's the thing that's interesting is did you know that there was a study that was done a few years ago? They found that women lose their ability to hear sort of lower tone sort of frequencies later in life, and men have lose their capacity to hear higher tone frequencies later in life.
Where?
So this is my theory, that this is the secret to a good long marriage, is that you can't actually hear each other. You can't hear them screech at you and complain. They can't hear you complain. So,
well, I always said that Wendy kind of mumbled to me, and now I know she doesn't. So I hope she's not listening tonight. But yeah.
So okay, she can't hear the sound of your voice anyway, because you're at a lower
tone. The lower, yeah. I'm not the one mumbling, but
I mean, in all seriousness, we do lose a little bit of our listening, our hearing function later in life. But like, you should be getting your hearing checked frequently throughout your life, and especially like, so some things I think younger.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of cutting out for me.
Dr. Stately, you're breaking up a little.
Out of nowhere. It's not huge. Okay. Mine is. Yeah.
You were breaking
up
a
little. Are you having a hard time? Are you having a hard time hearing?
Yeah. How ironic. This is like the story of my life.
Ironic, yes. In the words of Alanis Morissette.
Right.
Who I love, by the way. Last time I saw her live was at the Mystic Lake.
I just saw her. She was here in July.
Yeah, she was amazing. But anyway, so like what's really common, I think, and this is an important thing for your listeners to know, mm-hmm. if they can hear.
We're coming in loud and clear now, which is totally bizarre.
Tinnitus is common, can be a health concern that shows up fairly earlier in life than it would normally later in life, from like listening to your music really loud. So like, you know how like kids these days, they have those big things on their heads and they're rocking like, you know, their rap music or their like country music, for those of us who love country music. That's what I do. I play my country music really loud. And damages your ears to have the decibels that high. Nowadays, some of your technology has like the capacity for you to set settings as safety. Like I did that to my son's phone, so they can't damage their ears. I set their decibel level low or mid. But you know, now we know that these things cause damage. You're seeing younger people in their like 20s and 30s having tinnitus, and it's from like you know, in your case, like you know. All those raves you went to when you were younger and like listening to like pounding music.
Mm-hmm. They were fun though. Well, I taught, in all seriousness, I taught drumline in my high school for about 11 mm-hmm. years. And the first 5 years, I didn't wear earplugs because I was cool. But after that, I started wearing them just because I was getting old. But that's
a way. And other people that get injuries, hearing injuries, are like, you know, like you, if you're like, what is it, the jackhammer guys, construction workers, and those kinds of folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also end up with tooth damage from their teeth chattering.
Really? Is that true?
No, I'm joking.
I would have believed that.
That actually only happened on the Flintstones.
Sounds like a Friends episode.
Nobody even on your half of the people listening to this
Don't know the Flintstones podcast.
Don't even know who the Flintstones are.
Or Friends, for that matter.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Yeah. I guess we should do a show of how does it feel getting old? Because I'm the one that
I don't know. You can tell me you're older than me, so like please inform me.
Well, I was turning up the TV and I thought I better get my hearing changed or checked.
Both things actually apply.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I asked about the radio show too, because I wear headphones, but I can turn it down and whatnot. And she seemed to say that didn't really affect it, just an hour a day. And so I'm okay with that, but I do listen to my
AirPods when you're walking. You walk a bit, so are you listening to AirPods?
Earbuds.
Earbuds.
Yeah. I turn it up and turn it down and, I try to be mindful that I don't hear any ringing, but then again, I'm losing my hearing. So how could I hear ringing if I don't have hearing?
Good question.
I should crack myself up.
I thought ringing in your ears meant spirits were trying to talk to you.
I think that's a good explanation for it.
I thought that was when your ears were burning, someone was talking about you.
Yeah.
Or your nose was itching.
I always thought that's what I always heard too, like, oh, my ears are ringing and somebody's talking about you, and and then you ask and they're like, oh, well, actually, yes, I was just talking about you. I was like, oh, that's not yes. So that's, I think, self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Yeah.
Well, we manifest our things.
But how did you feel after you did your COVID shot?
No, I felt good, but when I was driving home, because I got it Saturday morning, and then I was driving home around 10:30, so I was driving for 3 hours from the Dells. I started getting the chills, and I thought the house was cold, and then I turned my fan off and went to sleep. But yesterday was the second day, and it was funny because, Wendy's in New York right now, and I woke up at 6 in the morning with my glasses on and my hands and my phone, and this TikTok was playing over and over and over again. So I must have been sleeping for 8 hours.
Listening to the same TikTok over and over.
Yeah. Had dreams.
Dare I ask what the TikTok topic was?
I don't even remember. It's probably a Trump thing or something.
Like, I'm addicted to like a couple of TikToks. Like, I watched the comedian Matt Rife over and over and over because he's really funny. In a lot of inappropriate ways, he's really funny. So, like, I would say, like, don't let your kids listen to them and listen to him. But he's pretty funny, and, yeah, I like him a lot. And
our friend our friend Jace is really shook because
Jace. Yeah.
Yeah, he really shook because of one of big fan of Janet Jackson and really let us down.
I commented on his Facebook post today, or some post he mentioned about that Janet was, he said in his post, she's sounding a little like a Rumpian.
I know. And then the next post, like, he was selling all his Janet Jackson stuff. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't even sell them. I just throw them out the window. Well, I have CDs, so, like, they could go sailing, but. Nobody has CDs anymore either.
Well, for some reason, I think a few years ago, there was a picture of those two. I don't know if he had a meet and greet, if you paid for that, but
huge fan. I know that they've had she invited him to a concert. They met somehow, but I happen to like her a lot as a performer, but I don't necessarily think every performer that I like necessarily has the same politics as me. But I found it shocking and surprising that she would say the things that he said about Kamala.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll be right back. We're with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A massive cleanup effort in the South. More than 40 people killed, millions left without power in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Larry Parker lives in hard-hit Hudson, Florida, near Tampa Bay. He says his home destroyed.
We lost everything, every bit of furniture, clothing,
pots and pans, food, refrigerators, washer, dryer. We lost everything.
The storm's heavy winds as it moved inland, taking out power lines over 3.5 million customers across the southeast and Midwest without power this morning. Israel Defense Forces continue their bombardment of Beirut this morning. The IDF says it hit over 140 targets across Lebanon overnight after it claims to have killed Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. Hezbollah has not confirmed his death. At Cape Canaveral today, a scheduled launch of a SpaceX crew to the International Space Station. NASA plans to use the SpaceX capsule to bring home the crew of Boeing Starliner next year. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickell said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
That's the thing that I think gets lost in the whole grand scheme of things, right? I mean, you know, that it's some special play that you call. No, it's called execution.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81. Clear tonight, lows around 48. Sunshine and 77 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low around 47. For Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. Much cooler Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and terrorists, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Met Council. They're asking for your help to shape the future of the Twin Cities. Join them this Wednesday at 5 p.m. for Imagine 2050, a regional planning event focused on improving housing, transportation, parks, and water resources. Share your ideas and help create a better Twin Cities. Visit engage.metrocouncil.org to learn more.
Well, the Met Council, I'm on the advisory board, the Native American advisory board, and I'm totally blown away by all the things that they do in the cities. You know, we talked about that last time, Haley. It's just amazing what they got, what they oversee, you know, from sewage going into the river to parks and names of parks and all these things. And, of course, light rail, that's always in the news, but amazing. Very amazing. And I just want to say to Santina, she said, sorry, I'm late. She was watching Echo. That's a good reason to be late, Santina. And we always appreciate you commenting and listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're here with our friend, Dr. Stately. And I was talking my woes to Dr. Stately. But, of course, I couldn't hear half of them because I'm going deaf. But, that's sad. You know, we talked a little bit about Jace and the situation. I feel there's people out there predicting that this is going to be a landslide, and we need it to be a landslide. And then we're going to have new bumpers from the governor and the new governor here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think that it feels to me like every other week, you know, the pundits, as you like to call them, are the people who sort of kind of deliver this information to us. And, you know, they have robust jobs that, you know, discussing the nature of politics. I think one of the things I always tell people, because I think about young people. I think, like, when I was newly 18 and I can't remember who was running back then, 79, it would have been
Reagan
and yeah, and you know, I think like one of the things I remember thinking is like, oh, like, you know, Carter's the incumbent, and the incumbents always win. They have the, you know, they're like, and it was an upset, and Reagan. And I remember like being 18 years old and thinking like, I don't have to vote. This isn't all that important, you know, those kinds of things, and feeling assured that like, you know, Carter was going to win again, and then Reagan won, and like, you know, from the time I was 18 or 19 years old to the time I was 24, or I think Reagan was in office for two terms,
eight
right?
8 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, 8 years. It was the worst 8 years of my life. Sorry, pardon my.
Whoa. I hope we caught that.
Get that button. But, you know, I turned 18 in 20 in 82, or no, in 80, I turned, so the like the first year of his presidency, all the way through 1988, when he finally was, you know, lost the grip on his reins. During that period of time, I lived in Los Angeles, and I landed there in the middle of the HIV epidemic. Like, my friends were dropping like flies, dying of AIDS within weeks of getting diagnosed of those things. I, of course, also was at risk, great risk for that. But also, like, it was just like, you know, him and Margaret Thatcher, they were like pretty much cut from the same cloth. And they were like, you know, they called her the Iron Queen and a few other. And I think the thing was, is that like he went a good 8 years without ever uttering the word AIDS in his entire.
Yep.
Right. Meanwhile,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, it finally became a thing that you could talk about after, like, you know, young boy who was white and who was heterosexual and a child got AIDS, and all of a sudden became something to talk about.
But or Rock Hudson
or hundreds of thousands of people had to die first. It's like, that's crazy making. So like, I think about that as I was a young person. Had I thought like, so this is, I think, the thing that's important here is to, like, I've been trying to tell all the young people I know, like, did you register to vote? Are you going to vote? Like, get out and vote, because it's really critical that you be part of the decision making here, because a president, the wrong person in office, could completely reshape your life and the lives of the people that you love and you care about. And if you stand on the sideline, you really don't have, I mean, you don't really have a whole lot of legs to stand on to complain about the outcome.
You know, this show started because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation. Mm-hmm. And the second day Trump was elected, he wrote a presidential whatever and started drilling again in Standing Rock. It's the second day.
So yeah.
Us natives out
I remember sitting in my hotel room in Standing Rock, the 2 weeks before the election, like it would have been mid-October. Yeah. I was hired as the executive officer of NAC, but I hadn't started yet. I started in December. And I was fairly confident when I was sitting in that hotel room watching the debate, thinking like, she's handing him his A, you know, and she's like, and I'm being really confident and, you know, those kinds of things. And like a lot of other people probably like, oh, this is, you know, and she did, she won the popular vote, but like, you know, she lost with the electorate. And I think the thing is that people sometimes get too confident and they think, oh, this is going to happen for sure. Those kinds of things. And so they don't show up or they don't follow through on their civic duties or they just kind of assume somebody else is going to take care of it, you know? And I don't make a tremendous amount of money, but I've been given, you know, the Democrats and also, you know, the party who I belong to and also the presidential run, I've been giving them about, you know, a good $25 or $50 a week for the last several weeks as a sustained supporter, because I want them to do well, and I plan to take the day off of election day so I can make sure I get there, because I get to the office and I think, oh, I'll go when I get off and I'm exhausted. All the reasons why we don't do the thing we do. And you can do all kinds of things now, like early voting. Those are all really important things to do. But I think one of the things I remember sitting in that thing feeling very confident that she was going to win and we're going to prevail with Standing Rock and all those other things, and like fairly rapidly in rapid succession, things unraveled, right? And also it was my first year as the executive officer of NAC, a federally qualified healthcare center. And I remember him like kicking the community health center FQHC funding mechanism down the road, doing a continuing resolution and like threatening not to sign the bill, not invest in community health, all those things for like the first 6 months of my tenure at NAC. And like we were facing a fiscal cliff, and that federal award, funded like a good third of our organization. And I was like, we're like a three-legged stool here. Like he's going to rip one of our legs out and we won't be able to operate anymore. So right. I was like, it was like, he was the bane of my existence in 2017 for a good, like 4 years after that. So
well, there's reports, too, and I think our friend Heather Keeler mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Hillary was as far ahead as Harris is right now. And what she was saying is that we need, like you said, we don't have to, you know, I don't have to vote. Wendy and I are voting early, and we're going to definitely try and help people get out to the polls after that. And
we cannot be overly confident. We cannot rest on our laurels, right? This is like, there's too much to lose in this particular election, right? Mm. I mean, the man has already told us, like, you know, foreshadowed all the things that he intends to do. He's going to weaponize the, you know, the Department of Justice to go after all of his, all of the people who, you know, didn't support him earlier, like all of his enemies, quote unquote. He's going to, you know, he's going to try to do a national ban on abortion and also birth control, like not making birth, like what, right? It's just like insane the things that he's planning to do. And like, you can't get on the website, the 2025 website anymore and get that information, or 2025 plan. But, you know, there's some earlier some people have copied those things and posted it on Facebook. Yeah. He has a plan for America for 2025, and it isn't looking good for anybody who's not white and anybody who isn't white, and specifically white men,
right?
And specifically white men who happen to be billionaires. Yeah. So if you fall into any other category other than that,
right? Look out.
You're not going to end up doing well post-election.
Exactly. So I think we've learned, and that we keep talking about it here and talking about it to our relatives. He's going to have the same 59, 55 million people voting for him. And we're in broadcast all over Wisconsin too, Dr. Stately. And one of the things that's always brought up there too, is it's 20,000 votes in all the district. That means three people in each district need to vote a certain way to change the whole election here in the country. So your vote does matter.
Yeah. Your vote does matter. I mean, I remember growing up as a young person and hearing like my relatives say things like, oh, I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't matter. And then I was like, you know, I had that experience I talked about early in my early young adult. And I was like, well, after that, I started voting regularly and consistently. I vote in every single election, whether it's a presidential election or not, because like, I think the other thing that people don't think about, and here's the thing that's really, really important, is that people have to remember, like, the president is one branch of the government. You know, you got Congress and the Senate, right? You got Congress, and then you got legislative. And like, the guy that ends up in that office, or the person that ends in that office, over the next 4 years, gets to decide who's going to be on the Supreme Court. So like, deciding big cases, we've seen the evidence that they are sort of leaning towards very, very highly conservative, and like, you know, they protect that guy. Right. And then the Senate, they pass laws. They decide who's going to go up for, who's going to get forward. Remember when the Senate was locked a couple of years ago, and we tried to advance people, Obama tried to advance people into the, onto the federal bench, and they blocked every single one of the nominations. It's like, people have to remember, like, the president is important, but so are all these other downstream things. So you got to vote in every single election. If you want to do your civic duty and you want to be engaged and you want to have some say in how your life meets out as a citizen, you got to show up and you got to bring yourself and you got to bring your vote. And you also have to bring your opinion, and don't be afraid to talk to your relatives, and don't be afraid to talk to your neighbors about it. The worst thing that they can do, I suppose, is, you know, yell back at you or argue with you, possibly punch you, but then, you know, there's
keep your distance. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately. I think the next segment we're going to talk about social studies being taught from a very young age, because we need to engage our and educate our young people, and we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our Assembly Speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the Assembly Speaker and Robin Voss is the Minority Leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I could barely hear my...
That sounds more like an owl than a wolf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, ooh, I can't look at an owl and cry. You know what that means. But that's a different show. A whole episode. So We're here with Dr. Stately. Yeah, I forgot what I was doing there for a second. We're here with Dr. Stately, and we're talking about a lot of different things, as we usually do. It's great to catch up with Dr. Stately, a Native American community, a clinic CEO, and we talk about a lot of great things here. And one of the things I mentioned when we were going off air is I'd really like to see, and I've talked to some politicians locally about really, you know, learning civics at a young age and not be afraid of that. You know, I'm at that age, 63, where I can talk to the governor, the soon to be vice president, and the soon to be governor, lieutenant governor, as people just go up and BS with them. You know, but when I was in my 20s, I put these people up on a big pedestal and was afraid of them and, you know, had preset notions. But they're people too, and anybody can get involved. And I really liked your talk too, Dr. Stately, about all these elections are important for a lot of different reasons. I mean, we didn't care who the lieutenant governor was, we'd have a different governor coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and I think the other thing I want to kind of just say to your listenership, it's like readership. I like to say your readership, but nobody's reading it.
That's okay. Just don't swear. That's all right.
I know. God, I'm going to get the FCC after me.
They bleeped it out. It was awesome.
About that.
Patrick's on it.
Yeah. There's a rap song about that. But I was just, you know, I think it's important that we understand that, like, 4 years ago, and actually she's like 6 years ago now, because she's in, like, they were reelected 2 years ago, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So 4 years ago when we first elected the lieutenant governor, and I want to remind people, like, you know, like, Native people showed up in mass, and we swung the vote that year in so many ways. We elected the most Native people to state offices, not just the lieutenant governor, but also senators and representatives than we have done in history, right? And so I think part of it is like, important to understand, like, you know, the significance of showing up and voting, because it's a, you know, like, I think it's kind of like the thing that my family, you know, I grew up listening to, like, you know, older Native people, you know, the really old ones, like, well, you know, the great white father doesn't listen to us, you know. You know, he probably had a poor hearing.
Drumline.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, the narrative there being like, well, it's not important to do, it doesn't matter, it falls on deaf ears. And but, you know, the reality of it is that when you utilize your, and you fully engage as a civilian, and you engage in things, you show up for conversations at, like, the locals, county and federal level, you go to these things, you know, there's listening sessions. When your representative hosts a community listening session and says, you know, come have coffee with me or donuts or whatever and tell me what you, like, those things are really important, you know. Look at the impact that it had on, you know, those four people that went and talked to J.D. Vance and told him about the people eating dogs, right? You know, he said, yeah. He had on some interview I heard recently, it was like, well, the four or five people that showed up and told me this was happening, you know, I do my job. I think I listen to them and then I bring it up.
Yeah. He also said he has to make stuff up to get people to listen.
Yes. And,
but it's also misinformation.
Creative governance. Yeah.
Well, it stops people talking from Project 2025 too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, I won't lie and say that I did enjoy looking at all the memes and all the GIFs that came out after that. You know, Auntie Jace posted a really cute thing on TikTok about her cat. You know? Yeah.
Well, I've seen dogs at the voiceover for that, and the dogs looking, you know, they're talking about something else, and the dogs looking freaked out, and neck snapping towards the owner, going, "What? Cats running away."
But I mean, like, in all seriousness, like, it is important to show up in those spaces, you know. And
well,
I probably do, actually, if I'm being completely honest, I probably do a much better job of that now in the role that I have and the responsibility I have as a community leader, the responsibility I have for the organization that I run, right? It's like, I, over the last 8 years, I'll be at NAC almost 8 years here in December,
wow,
have a much more profound understanding from being in the role that I am and seeing the impact of significant decade over decade over decade of disinvestment in my community, the impact that it has on health. I understand the relationship between elections and voting and health. It's really, really crystal clear to me. Mm-hmm. So if I want to advance and move and protect the health and well-being of my community, I have to show up and vote. If I care about my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, I have to show up and vote today. I have to do it today. Not in 4 years, not in six, not in eight. I got to do it today because so much depends on it.
Amen to that. Yeah. And we'll be speaking about that on Native Roots Radio forever because it's really, really important. And education's important to know. It's the new fight right now is our educated.
Right.
It's
like Wilma Mankiller said, like she was famous for saying something of akin, like, the fight for sovereignty is no longer going to be fought on horseback. It's going to be fought in the classrooms across Indian country. So teach your children, teach your grandchildren about why it's important to vote, why it's important to engage in civic responsibility and in action. Why is it important to protest? Why is it important to speak up? Why is it important to do all of those things? Really, really critically important, right? And then I think the last thing I would just want to say here is, like, you know, I am throwing all my loose change and everything I have at Kamala, you know, except for the four quarters I gave this homeless lady that was standing on the corner the other day, because I want her to win, because I want people to be protected and have our rights. I don't want to go back to what it was like, 8 years ago. I just don't want to do that. And the other thing is, as I want Biden to, pardon and give clemency to Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
And I want him to do it before Kamala gets in because, she's a prosecutor. Who knows what she's going to do, but I think she would support it. But I want... There's no chance of that happening if Trump wins, period.
And there's no chance of moving our Democrats more progressive and pushing them more and having them listen. It's a black and white decision here. Hey, Dr. Stately, can you hold on after the show here? I got to talk to you for a second. And I want to say one thing. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to vote, vote, vote. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. No.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Hezbollah leader killed. I'm Dave Packer. Israel says its strike on Hezbollah headquarters in Lebanon killed the militant group's leader, as we heard this morning from IDF Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of the terrorist army Hezbollah, was killed by Israel Defense Forces in a precise strike in Beirut last night.
Hezbollah confirming the death.